Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of City Chatter. I'm John Bernstrom, Public Information Officer for the City of Grand Forks. I'm your host. We went a month without an episode, and now I have two episodes in a week. And I am joined this week by Ward 5 Councilmember Tricia Lunsky. Tricia, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So let's get right into it. You had a length.
Ward 4.
You're Ward 4. Did I just call you Ward 5?
Yes, and then I thought.
Did you move? Do you know what it is? What's terrible. That? Do we need? We're not going to start over. You're Ward 4. I used to be Ward 5. Now I'm Ward 4.
Oh, there we go.
She is my council member. She is. Thank you. Okay. Now you got me all flustered.
I know, me too.
Got me all flustered. Council meeting last night. You were there for a little bit. But I think
I was there the whole time.
But I meant it from a standpoint of it wasn't a short meeting.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't a short meeting.
True.
A couple of things are covered that we're getting into, but I want to ask this real quick. Okay, we talked beforehand. I said I'm going to talk about this. I didn't mention this one.
Oh, great.
Water treatment plant. The old water treatment plant site is coming up in the next little bit. We're going to get some proposals from firms and whatever, what they could possibly do there. This is in your backyard.
Yes.
Do you have ideas that you want to see there?
Of course. It's not in my ward, but it is in my
it's
backyard.
Cool. It's in your backyard. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I think there's so many opportunities. I think the view is going to be to die for.
Yeah.
So that means you have to build high. I also would love to see, and this is just a pipe dream, but like if you had owner-built properties where instead of giving a developer some tax breaks, we could give individuals tax breaks to build what they want. Not a kit house, maybe it's a kit house, but kind of giving them some more flexibility. But that's just a pipe dream.
So that's going to lead to a second question here. You see housing in that site then?
Yes.
Not necessarily a event. I'm throwing some event space, a science museum. I don't know what it is. You see housing there.
Yes, I've always thought housing, but I'm not. Now you're making me think. I think like commercial and housing. I think right now Grand Forks has a decent amount of commercial we need to fill downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we don't need more in the future, but I think housing is kind of what we need.
You mentioned the view that's there. If you get high enough there, it's gorgeous, right? It's at the forks of the river, Grand Forks. It's our namesake right there. Whatever is done there, I would hope there's a public space. I don't know what it is. Restaurant? I don't know what it is.
Yep.
That is at that high level that you can see that.
Yep, coffee shop. So
I have no idea.
Fancy, casual. Yes, I agree, something.
All right. So that's going to be in the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear some of those proposals. Who do we want to work with? And like you said for you it was a pipe dream. That's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of a once in a city lifetime type development.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of cool ideas downtown, at the council meeting last night, yesterday, so there are some state funds potentially available in a grant standpoint for kind of like park areas and stuff, and our greenway qualifies. So the downtown area, you got some conceptual ideas that the city will be going forward with, proposing this grant, and there's a match to it and everything. But there's some really cool ideas in there, and we're talking specifically downtown by the Sorley Bridge. What are some things in there that you saw that you're like, this could be really cool?
Well, so the grant is only for south of the bridge.
Oh, okay.
But north of the bridge, they had an idea that a walkway from maybe levee height out into that, I don't know what you
it's
call
it.
It's
the old railroad bridge.
Yes, yeah. The old railroad bridge. And maybe it's just a walking path. Maybe there's something out there. You could buy ice cream.
Sure.
But generally just to walk out there, I think that would be amazing. And maybe it continues to East Grand Forks, maybe not. It just kind of doubles around. And then the amphitheater. I think Grand Forks has needed an amphitheater, something natural where you just sit on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be phenomenal for our city.
And again, it was all conceptual ideas, but this amphitheater idea, imagine the stage at the obelisk.
Yes.
That's kind of it with naturally seating down there.
Yep, you run into some issues there. So we tried to have a couple events at the Obelisk, mm-hmm. And there's the bike path there. So right. you have to kind of work around that.
There's no power.
Yes. Yeah. We love power, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's on the wet side, so power is it's doable. It's just mm-hmm. a little bit more difficult. You can bring a generator. Generators are allowed.
Sure.
You can hide them in the trees, but yeah, there's definitely options. There's more playground space proposed. I was really excited about the amphitheater. Updated bathrooms. It won't touch Town Square, which currently has bathrooms, but there was also a building down there mm-hmm. that could get wet, you know, for restrooms.
And that's the whole thing. It did come up in discussion a little bit. Nothing down there would be put in that is just like, oh, no, you know, it flooded. We didn't know, right? I mean, yeah. I don't think we could get insurance on anything. Well, we probably could. We'd have to pay through the teeth, right? Because right. it's in a flood zone. So you don't put anything down there. Like, we have I'll call it the boathouse, but it's a container that we just move yeah. every spring. But then we can put it back.
Do you know who moves it?
I'm guessing a company that you maybe know about.
Maybe. But Bluestem and Moorhead, have you been there?
Oh, it's been a long time.
It's on the wet side.
Sure.
You know, so it's possible that Bluestem is amazing. And we're talking about something way smaller. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it can flood. Hopefully minimal cleaning to get it back when it does flood. But I've lived here for 20 years. I've rarely seen the water come up to the obelisk.
Sure.
So that's pretty high.
If you were to say ever, yes, it has. It has gotten up there. Flood protection does a great job. Is that in every, you know, as a council member, I think you have that decision making, right? All right, if we are going to sit here, does it ever get wet so we can't do anything down there? It will get wet eventually.
Right.
Right. But the balance of we have five great summers to one bad spring, what is it worth? You have that decision as council member.
Yes, and I think, you know, when we had the Greenway Takeover Festival, so many people said, I didn't know this space was here. So if you didn't go to Central and have Fayed down there sometimes, like, you know, I don't think people understand the amount of space, the cool amount of space that's down there.
And I will say this, where you would have your Greenway Takeover event, which is kind of right behind the Toasted Frog back there a little bit.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the bigger flat spaces in the Greenway. I mean, the Greenway kind of winds from really tight, you know, the river's really close to the flood wall, to you have quite a bit of space to you know, trees and whatnot. You know, the space where you would have it, that's a large space.
It's a very big space.
All right. So a couple of exciting conceptual things, right? It's as a council member, it's got to be fun sometimes that you're not just always talking road construction.
Right. Right. And this year, potholes don't seem to be a huge issue. So
we're not there yet. We're almost right. there. I always make a joke that every spring, Grand Forks has the worst road has a worst road in town. Our goal as a city is to make sure it's never the same road 2 years in a row.
Oh, I like that.
And as long as I've been with the city for 18 years, last year was 32nd. Year before that was University Avenue. Year before that was Cherry Street.
Okay.
Right. So we. Don't get me wrong, we have potholes. We have to fix them. We just need to change that every year.
I think I'm more shocked that you've been with the city for 18
years. Yeah, I know. You noticed the lack of hair on my head. Yes. Yes, I have been there for 18 years.
Wow, that makes me feel old.
For those that don't know, when you moved to town, I was still working in TV. So our lives crossed at that point, too.
Yep.
So in your ward, you are a lot of single-family housing.
Yep.
You do have apartments in your ward, just like any other ward. You maybe don't have as much as, say, Ward 1 or Ward 2, which are single family but are rented out. You yeah. don't have as much as that. But as a council yesterday, you guys got an update on the city's rental program, really this targeted at that single family home that's rented out. And there's a strike program and stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about, do you as a council member hear about this a little bit of, oh, I have renters next to me that don't take care of the property. Can the city do you hear a lot of that as a council member in your ward?
No, I don't hear a lot about that.
Okay.
But I think it's been fascinating to me. We have a couple in like a block or two away from us. We've never had any issues. But it was fascinating to me that it was a unit 3 and under need to be licensed.
Sure, yep. Otherwise, they fall under a different state license.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fascinating to me. Also, Jamie and I tried the landlord thing like 15 years ago, and I don't don't think I had a license.
Oh.
But I didn't know. So then I was thinking, how do you let people know that, too?
It's Grand Forks is unique in this program. This is not a statewide program. Other cities have looked to Grand Forks of how you put your program together. Frankly, you have post-flood and a university, and things just kind of mesh together, right? There's properties available for cheap that I can make a buck on.
Yeah.
So individuals, whether they live here or not, swooped in.
Yeah.
And we had to come up with a program. There's a three strike. If you get three strikes, you can't retain your renter's license. But it's not a matter of – there's a time frame on the strikes, right, where it resets. Can you talk a little bit about that strike program?
Yeah, so it's three strikes for the landlord.
For the landlord, yep. Yes.
So it could be anything from loud party to cooking meth.
Yeah, breaking the law. Yeah. Let's just put breaking the law in one category.
Okay. So if there's an issue, then the cops come. Obviously, the people living there.
Whatever citation, whatever. Yep. Yep.
Then a letter is sent to the property owner, and it's up to the police if they want to give them a strike. Then if they get three strikes, they lose their license. But your strikes are reset with every 2 years. So if you get three strikes in 10 years, you're still fine.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Every 2 years, I bet you those tenants turn over more than 2 years. Does it reset with every new tenant?
It's up to the discretion of the police chief, I believe.
Sure. A bad tenant is a bad tenant.
Yes.
But if they keep turning over.
Right. And so they understand, like, if there's a party here a year later, new people leaving, they're probably not going to give you another strike.
Sure, because it's different people.
Yep.
And they can tell that by the citations they give and all that fun stuff.
And I thought it was really fascinating because as a landlord, you can't really be responsible for your tenant's behavior, but you have to after a while.
Sure. So
it's an interesting thought.
I will say this, my time going to school at UND, living in Grand Forks, we rented, my roommates had dogs, so they wanted houses that had yards for their dogs, so we would rent houses. First thing we did is we made friends with our landlord, right? We're like, hey, we want you to call us before you call the police or whatever, if we're doing something wrong that we have no idea that we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to have a bonfire or something like that, or the dogs are causing a problem, no one talks to us, they call you, we'll take care of that.
Right.
You know, we just want to. So we made friends with our landlords. That was, sometimes it just takes talking to people.
Right. And I think we have to teach our kids that.
That's fair. So I'll get phone calls in the office, my 18 years of working there, and it'll be my neighbor's doing this, my neighbor's doing that. My first question always is, so when you talk to your neighbor, what did they say? And sometimes they didn't fix it. I did talk to them. Lots of times, I'm not going to talk to him. And I'm like, talk to him first. They probably have no idea their downspout's going in your yard.
Right.
They have no clue. And they're probably going to say sorry. Right? Because normal people do that.
Yeah.
But that talking to people goes a long way.
I was actually thinking about, I think the way we buy houses is wrong. Is you should interview your neighbors, right? Because if you have good neighbors, who cares if you have a big TV room? I think big neighbors are good neighbors are worth it.
Or, and again, getting no landlords, my wife and I, we're the nosy neighbors, new neighbor in the neighborhood. We're like, all right, well, we got to go meet them. Let's go. Whether they're uncomfortable or not, they need to know us.
Hopefully they're from Grand Forks.
Hopefully it works well. Hopefully it works well. This interesting thing was talked about. I mean, I'm going to call it interesting because it's there's no right or wrong on any of this. I'm going to ask you this question. What is art?
I will never say what is art and what isn't, or I will never say your art is not art.
Sure.
But it's an interesting question, and I really got stuck on that Grand Forks Herald clock.
Yeah.
And, I think, so we're talking about the new portal from PAC that's going to be on Visit Grand Forks.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea. I was just a tiny bit disappointed that the first thing I saw was the Herald clock.
Sure.
Because we have some really awesome art in Grand Forks. I mean, Adam Kemp is a staple.
Mm-hmm.
He has so many pieces in Grand Forks. There's the new mural that's appearing on every promotional thing. So we need to acknowledge that. I love the mural downtown.
Mm-hmm.
our campus has so much art. So I love this idea. I love having the idea of a map. It's just, what is art? You know,
sure.
is a statue, is a clock. I'm not saying the clock is not art, but I almost think it should be in two different categories.
Mm-hmm.
It really made me question a lot of things last night.
So for those that come back and say, you know, I think it was Mr. Weber who made a comment of just like, it's not the council shouldn't determine what art is. We should just determine how we support it or whether we do support this project or not overall, but individual area or whatever.
Yep.
If you start getting into defining it's almost like free speech, right? I mean, here's one thing, vulgar, not vulgar, but.
Right.
And one person looks at one thing and says, that's beautiful. Another person, I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Right. And I went to art school.
Yeah.
So I've spent hours and hours debating this, talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, past life. So it is fascinating. And I think one thing that makes me sad is people tend to not talk about it because they don't want to say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're missing the conversation by not talking about it. And I'm not saying as a council member, that's not my position. I just really miss talking about art.
Sure. To your point of different categories, this is John Q. Citizen here. Maybe it's art and monument,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I say this, our city calendar, we went out this year, worked with an intern last year. It was a good internship project. We worked with historic preservation of where monument pieces are in town, historical pieces. So there's the next to your house, there's a Civil War monument there.
Right.
I lived in Grand Forks for how long before I drove past it? Didn't realize it was a Civil War monument.
Yep.
And then just this past month, we were in White Bear Lake. They have a monument just like it. And I go, that's a Civil War monument.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You know, it had different names on it, of course, but the statue itself was the same.
Yep. And you know the piece that there's a – it's four pieces. It's on Fifth Avenue downtown. Right when you're going over the bridge – I'm sorry, the railroad crossing?
Okay.
It's on a storage unit.
Yes.
So yep. I think like that piece, it was made by a former professor. His name was Joel. I can't remember his last name. He sadly passed away. But he made it, and it was like paint by number. And then community people could stop by and paint a little bit.
Oh.
And my kids got to paint a little bit. And I think that's a really fun
story.
That's
a cool idea.
So I want those stories to be told. I think like Adam Kemp's fish.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know where they came from? Well, I want that story told. So I just hope we can get there. And because I think if you're going to go out for an art walk, you want a little bit more information than just the artist's name.
Sure. Or the story behind it. We've all seen the fountain at UND,
yes.
Right? It's now next to don't want to call it the religious center, but the ceremonial center there by Hughes
Hopper
Fine
Danley.
Arts. Thank you. There's a story behind that.
Yeah.
That has significance. I went to UND. It was the fountain.
Right.
It was the fountain. That's all it was. So it's interesting some of those stories behind some of that stuff. On the corner of right across from Dairy Queen and Gateway and North Fifth.
Yes.
There's an old horse trough in there that used to be downtown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That when people would travel, you know, that was where they could. Horses could get water. That's in that little triangle park up there.
Really?
Right. It's stuff like that.
Yes.
Right? It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
Yes, and I'm at that age where I think that stuff is interesting.
That's right. Interesting. Also, you had an event come forward to the city council yesterday. That event aside, but we're getting into event season. I think you posed a interesting question, a good question, and I'm going to ask you because this is work you have done. What makes an event a good event?
I think, you know, so I've worked events on the production side. So the mm-hmm. the back end. I think when we're invisible, it's a good event. When you don't know we're there, when you don't know there's not enough porta potties, when you just go to the bathroom and things are great and you don't have to wait in line, you don't think about that. You don't think about, oh, last night that porta potty line was short.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes you have a better event.
But do you know what? When you go there and you're like, that porta potty line was long. You don't remember when it's short. Right. You remember when it's long.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's when the background or the production kind of disappears. That's what makes a good event.
Well, and then from a city standpoint, right? So getting people to try events, good for you. If somebody were to come forward to you and say, hey, I want to do something. I know Spring Fest didn't go well, but we want some sort of spring party. We're going to bring in some bands, a beer garden. You know, we're just, you know, do this. How should we do that? What would your advice be to them?
I think, you know, the sad part is to make an event, to pay for an event, a lot of times you do need liquor sales.
You need to make money. That's just part of it. Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't have admission,
mm-hmm. That's where you make your revenue.
Right. But I think you have to take care of yourself with security. You have to make that boundary a little harder to hop over. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard. Events is hard. And I think people think, oh, this band, I can get this DJ for $5,000. It'll be great. They don't understand all the other expenses that go into an event.
Sure.
I got way off the question.
No, but I mean, I think you're fair. When somebody comes up to you and says, you know, hey, can you help me with this event? I have a DJ, but that's as far as they've gotten.
Yep.
From your standpoint of, okay, in order for this to work, you also need X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And it's probably unique to each one, but...
Yep, and I think as an event organizer, stay sober.
Yeah.
A lot of event, not a lot.
Well, no.
Some are like, well, this is my biggest party of the year, and I'm going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
No, nope, you need to stay sober.
Your party's after the event.
Yes.
Right. Well, and I think that's my kids play youth sports, and I've had coaches both for soccer and for football. And say, I don't care the score. My goal is I want them to play this sport next year. Mm-hmm. Is it maybe fair to say for an event organizer, no matter how it goes, you want to be able to do it next year?
Because
then you, pardon my language, you didn't piss off the wrong people.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it didn't go terribly, so people won't come back.
Right.
You know,
and then you have the weather.
Weather is always right? That's mm-hmm. We deal with winter and we want to get outside so bad. And then we get outside and you have a rainy Saturday.
Yep.
Right?
It's heartbreaking.
That's tough. All right. That's enough city. You covered a lot in yesterday's meeting, I thought.
I did too.
In a wide range of things. So let's get in. Easter's right around the corner.
Okay,
we talked a little bit before. I find it kind of funny. One of the biggest religious holidays on the face of the earth, and we celebrate it with a bunny and eggs. But there's a reason behind some of that stuff, and I'm going to get into it. So I'm going to ask you this. Easter changes every year.
Yes.
It's not a set date. Do you know the reason for it changing?
I actually just Googled this, and now let me think for a second.
I'm going to say this. I thought it was something different.
No, I can't remember.
It's all about the moon.
Okay.
So it is the first Sunday after the first full moon after March 21st.
Why March 21st?
Spring.
Okay.
It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after March 21st. That is Easter Sunday.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. Do you know where the Easter Bunny came from?
The North Pole? The South Pole.
Santa's the North Pole. Germany. So pre-Christian influence in Germany, they had a spring festival. Rabbit signified spring and fertility and, you know, changing of seasons and stuff like that. As Christianity moved in and Easter's in the spring, they incorporated the pagan spring holiday. And that's where an Easter bunny came from.
Okay.
That one I didn't know.
I did not either.
Okay. Your kids are grown, right? I'm not quite there yet. You guys decorate Easter eggs growing up?
Yes.
Yeah. We did it last weekend.
Aww.
Even our kids are. Yeah, we still do it. Do you know where that originated from?
The dyeing of the Easter egg or the decorating?
Decorating of Easter eggs. Ukraine. So evidently that is something that is done in the Ukraine quite a bit.
Okay.
And as you get Eastern European influence in the United States, they brought that tradition with. And it was tied to spring and it was tied to Easter. And that was just something they did specifically Ukrainian.
Yeah, because what's the tie between the egg and the bunny?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you think I did research on this. Yeah, that's your fault. But yeah, the bunny and the egg, how they're tied together, and then of course all the candy.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course you have to have candy.
All the candy. Trisha, thank you very much. I appreciate you responding back to emails. Things schedules got really messed up this spring. Not gonna lie, but I was included on that. It's just, oh, let's do this. Not that day. Not that day. Not that day. Not that day. So. Appreciate it. We've done two in a row, so thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and let's get weather changed, right?
Yeah, so I looked at the forecast. I saw 50.
There we go. That means we can start doing stuff outside.
Yes, it does.
All right. Trisha, thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for watching this episode of the City Chatter Podcast. Again, you want to see previous episodes, go to grandforksgov.com/podcast. You can see all of our previous episodes, and we'll be turning over here, getting into spring, and have everyone have a happy Easter. See you, everybody.